This is PhotoBizX episode number 400, and today's special guest is going to be sharing how to successfully relocate your photography business, and she knows exactly how to do this because she's done it numerous times and she's in the middle of it right now. I'm talking about Dana Arnold from the USA, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Another big episode for you today, and I don't know if you can believe it. I certainly can't, that this is episode 400. It blows me away to think about that number because it just seems like yesterday that I started the podcast. And I've got to say, I absolutely love recording these interviews as much today, maybe even more so than when I started, I think almost 7 years ago. Just amazing. Anyway, I've got a massive show for you today. The interview with Dana is coming up. She is a wedding photographer, but I know no matter the genre you shoot, you will get a ton from what she shares today. If you've ever thought about restarting, rebranding, relocating, or just refreshing your business and are looking for ways to get reestablished either in your own local area or in a brand new area that you're looking to move to, or have considered moving to, there will be a ton of takeaways from Dana today. Following the interview with Dana, I have got some fantastic updates from Scott and Nicolette Bolson, who featured in last week's episode of the Coaching Diaries. And the beauty of these Coaching Diaries interviews is they're not over yet, because over the next 6 months or so, I'm looking to be getting audio updates, audio diary updates from our diarists, filling us in on exactly how they're going with their coaching, with their photography business, with their sales, their marketing, their advertising, all the things they're working on. And if you didn't catch last week's updates from Richard Hill, you absolutely need to go back and check that one out, because wow, like, it was open, honest, from the heart. I mean, he had a roller coaster couple of weeks. The first update, he was sky high, bookings and sales were going nuts. The following week, when he recorded his audio update, he hadn't made a sale. And he had reasons why. He had plans to change that. But it was so good to hear, honestly, what it's like to be in the trenches as a photographer in business. And I know you don't need to know that because you're in there doing it as well. But I think it's something we don't hear often, particularly on the podcast. You know, when I'm focused on success stories, wins, great sales, successful marketing strategies, advertising that's absolutely killed it, it is refreshing to hear what it's really like to be in the trenches, and especially this time of COVID, it's tough. So get back and have a listen to that one if you haven't heard it. Plus, you'll be able to reacquaint yourself with Scott and Nicolette if you haven't heard that interview. They're a fun couple. So many comments about their incredible studio, which, you know, I thought was just going to be a barn on their property. It is so much more than that. So check out the show notes if you want to see photos of their amazing studio. And I know we're going to hear more about it in the updates, the audio updates, after this interview with Dana.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
Oh, and just quickly, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. What that means is I'm going to be saving a large portion of the second half of the interview with Dana for premium members only. You won't be hearing that in your version of the podcast, in this version. Plus, I'm only going to give you or share with you one or two updates from Scott and Nicolette. So when they go into more detail, both them and Dana, into their marketing strategies, I'm going to be saving that for premium members only. So the beauty of that is, if you want to access the full interview with Dana and all the updates from Scott and Nicolette, you can easily do that with a premium membership. And you can check that out for as little as $1 if you head over to photobizx.com/try. photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
I received the following message from past interview guest, Indianapolis wedding photographer and host of the Beginner Photography Podcast, Raymond Hatfield. And he said, I want to introduce to you Dana Arnold. I just interviewed her and feel her story would be especially interesting for PhotoBizX listeners. She's a military wife who has to pack up and move her wedding photography business across the country every 18 months or so. She relies on marketing strategies to book her calendar full months before she even arrives in a new location. She was an open book, and I'm sure she would be happy to answer any question thrown at her. So following that message, I contacted Dana and learned that she's right in the midst of another relocation from Virginia to California in the United States. And I'm happy to say that she's made time for us, and I'm rapt to have her here with us now. Dana, welcome.
Wow, Andrew, that was a great introduction. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for making time for us. So you're moving to California. Like, is that your choice at all, or you just have to go where the military sends you guys?
We send a list to the military. That's usually like the top 10 or 15 places. And then from there, it is the Navy's hand and what they want to send us to.
Wow. Okay. So, sorry, how many is in the shortlist of places?
The shortlist is like 5-10, and then California was our number one pick. So.
Oh, okay. So is that common that you get your number one pick?
No.
Okay. And California is a big place. So do you get positioned on the Navy base, or you're in a house close by?
So where we're going specifically, it's not a Navy base. It's just a Naval graduate school, and they have military housing that's walk-in distance from the school. So we'll be staying in military housing.
Right. And is that pretty standard for what you've experienced so far?
From what I've experienced so far, there are military housing units on and off base. Right now, we actually live on base. It varies based on how the size of the military base and, you know, how many people get there every year to determine where we end up staying.
Got it. Okay. And the reason I'm sort of heading down this line of questioning is I'm curious because I'm guessing you, like most wedding photographers, meet their couples beforehand. So do the couples come onto the military base, or do you go and meet them at a cafe somewhere?
I usually meet them off base, obviously because of COVID and the way the cases are here, specifically in Virginia. We've been meeting online as well as more public outside picnic areas.
Okay. So what would you do in a normal year?
What's normal? So a normal year, I would love to meet them face-to-face. It's really important for them to see who I am. I believe face-to-face contact is just very important on how you get to know somebody. So I would meet them at a local Starbucks or a cafe. Sometimes we'll even do dinner. It depends on the time of the day.
Got it. Okay, so before I jump in and ask you 1,000 questions, can you give us a bit of an idea of sort of where you are business-wise? Like, how many weddings are you booking? How many are you looking to book? What your average price is?
So right now where I'm at, I've been in business for about 3 years full-time. Before this, I was part-time for about a year. I shoot military and weddings, and my weddings usually start anywhere between $2,200 and $3,600. That's based on American dollars. As for booking weddings right now, because of COVID, it has been difficult. It has been successful to the most part, but not where I want it to be. Right now in 2021, I have a total of 14 weddings. And in 2022, I have a total of 6 so far.
Cool. Okay. And were you able to still photograph this year in 2020?
Yes. Here in Virginia, we actually opened back up to a full extent for events over 200 people, which I think was a bad decision. But it was about 4 months ago where they completely opened back up. So I was still able to keep most of my 2020 weddings.
Awesome. So how many weddings were you shooting, or did you photograph this year or still have to do?
This year I photographed a total of 18. I actually have one left and it's on Saturday.
Ah, awesome. Okay. Hopefully the weather holds because it's pretty bad at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be in the mid 60s here. So it's going to be really nice.
Nice. Excellent. And so are you still marketing now for 2021 weddings?
Yes, in California.
Okay. How far in advance do you know that you're going to California, and where are next year's weddings taking place?
So when it comes to the military, we don't always know. Sometimes we'll know 6 months in advance and sometimes we'll know 2 months in advance. We found our information out, I believe, back in June, July. And the second I found out we were going to California, I started marketing for 2021 and 2022 in California.
Okay. So most of the weddings that you have booked for 21 are in Virginia.
Yeah. Most of them are 2021 are in Virginia because they are rescheduled weddings. And the remaining weddings are ones that I still decided to do because even though I knew I was going to be in California, I was scared of not booking weddings in 2021 because of COVID and the way California is right now with its regulations, that I still took up some weddings here in Virginia for next year.
Okay. So do you then build that commute into your pricing or it's too late for that?
Nope. So for the ones that I did already book but had to reschedule, I was very honest with them. I went up to them. I said, hey, you guys know I'm moving to California. Here are your options. Option A is that we would end our terms and you would find somebody else and you would get a 0.5% refund. Or B, you would add in an extra X amount of dollars, but I would fly back and you would still get to keep me. A lot of them, actually all of them, were like, we would rather pay you for the flight to come back versus have to find another photographer, you know, establish rapport with them, find, you know, just have to worry about that. So I'm very lucky that all of the ones who did reschedule were more than happy to add on the flight.
Unreal. And then do you get free accommodation back on the Navy base because you're a Navy wife?
I can get back on the Navy base if I wanted to, but for this situation, I have a lot of friends here in Virginia, so a lot of them have been very nice and have welcomed me into their home for next year when I come over.
Oh, okay. So this is actually with the wedding couples or different friends? You'll just stay with them and then go and photograph the wedding? Different friends?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends here in Virginia.
Got it. Unreal. And you said earlier that, you know, you photograph military events and military weddings. So are all your couples military couples that you photograph?
I would have to say about 75% are military, yes.
Okay, so those couples, they would be totally familiar with how everything works with the military. They probably can guess that you might be relocated or they might be relocated, and that's all par for the course. How does it go with the other 25%? Do you let them know how things could play out?
So on my website, it actually mentions my lifestyle. It mentions I'm a military photographer. It mentions that I move a lot. Luckily, with my husband's job specifically, I kind of have an idea of when I'll go someplace and how long I'll be there. Like, I knew I was only going to be in Virginia for 2 years. And so if someone were to inquire about 2021 or 2022, I would just simply say, hey, I'm not going to be here. I'll recommend somebody else to you. And even if it's cutting it close, I would still send them off to somebody else. Now, the 25% who have hired me, who are not military, a lot of them are doctors, they're police, they're healthcare workers. And I would just be straight up honest with them. And I feel pretty confident about when I do book with them that I will be here for the wedding.
Right. Okay. So do you give the couples the option too that to fly back to Virginia? Or do you say, I just recommend someone else?
I would not. So if I know for a fact that I will not be here, I will recommend them another photographer. Now, like you had mentioned earlier, I'm actually in the middle of moving. We do leave in 10 days, but you know, who's counting? So if they were to inquire for a wedding, say beginning of December of this year, I would have been like, that's cutting it close still. I feel uncomfortable about it because it's not fair to them. Because if I'm not able to make it back because of COVID or something like that, my flight would get canceled. It just wouldn't be fair. So if it's cutting it close like that, I would still give it over to another photographer.
Got it. And you said that of the 100%, 25% are outside military, but there's a good chance they're doctors, police workers. Why that kind of personnel? Why those industries? Why are they finding you?
Well, I actually love that you said that. And that you asked it. I personally love to photograph weddings for couples who love to give back to the community, for the couples who serve their community. I mean, for God's sake, like, doctors save lives and, you know, police are out there every day risking their life. I love serving those couples because I come from a long line of people who are in the military. So I posted on my website that I specifically love serving, you know, the military and the healthcare workers, those who protect and serve our country. And that attracts them to come to me.
Right. So that's part of your brand.
Yeah.
You're calling out to those people.
Absolutely.
Nice. I love it. Okay. So let's talk about you're at home or your husband comes home. He says, Dana, we're getting relocated. We're going to California. So you've done this move already a few times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What happens business-wise once you know you're going? Let's say you know you're going in December. What do you start to do? What do you work on first?
The very first thing I do is actually use social media as my rebranding tool. I take my phone, I lock myself in a bedroom for an hour, and I specifically focus on joining groups on Facebook. So for this upcoming move, it was Monterey Military Spouses on Facebook, Monterey Photographers, To Stay Together Photographers in Monterey. I would find all of those pages and I would add myself to the Facebook. I would introduce myself, talk about what I focus on, and then it pretty much goes the same way for Instagram.
Okay, so hang on. So Monterey, that's in California?
Yeah, sorry, yes.
Right, that's okay. So that's where you're going. So you go and look, search for all these groups, join them. And when you say you start interacting or you start posting in there, is it sales type messages or is it, hey, I'm Dana, I'm a wedding photographer, I'm coming to your town? Like, what do you write?
Absolutely not. So I'm not good. I'm not a salesy person. I don't like to talk about sales. I'm more of a people person. I love to connect with people. I like to make friends everywhere I go. I'm making friends left and right. That's just a social butterfly in me. So when I introduce myself on these Facebook pages and I introduce myself to, you know, photographers and wedding vendors on Instagram, I don't immediately be like, hey, I'm a photographer, hire me. I'm like, hey, I'm new to the area. Do you mind taking me to some of your favorite local coffee shops? Or I would love to grab dinner with you and meet your dog, or let's go for a hike, or something that has to do with being like sociable and fun, especially now during COVID. We're craving like human interaction. And so when I did that for Monterey, California, I had so many overwhelming responses. I was like, am I even going to be able to like move into my own house? Because everyone was just so excited to meet a person and not just talk about business right away.
Wow, that's so good. So when you're talking about going out for coffee or walking the dogs together, mm-hmm. are these DMs or PMs or is this just in the group?
This is a little bit of both, actually. I actually started a group thread in one of the military spouse pages. And I was like, hey, let's just all meet up and, you know, talk about our life as a military spouse. And so we have dinner plans with a couple of girlfriends through that. And on Instagram, it's just direct messages.
Right. Okay. And then, so with Instagram, I'm guessing it's a little bit more strategic because there's not groups.
Yeah.
So what are you looking? Are you looking for hashtags, locations?
Yes. So again, it's a little bit of both. I do hashtags, I do locations. I would literally type into the search bar on Instagram, Monterey Wedding Florist or Monterey Bakery, you know, Monterey Wedding Photographer. I would use what I would want to find somebody similar to me in the search bar. And so I don't do it with every single person that I meet. I look through a lot of threads. And if I find somebody that I truly connect with, that we have a lot in common, because, you know, everyone on Instagram loves talking about themselves. And I love reading about other people. So when I see that somebody loves Game of Thrones, somebody loves football just as much as I do, I am directly in their DMs like a creepy person. I'm like, hey, sup? And that's how I introduce myself.
Okay, got it. And this is a total guess here. Do you only do this with other women? Or if it's a male photographer or male baker, male florist, is it the same?
Honestly, when I look up those hashtags, I have yet to really come across a male. There were two videographers that I got in contact with, and I invited them over to a group lunch with a whole bunch of other people. But to be honest, as a wife, I can't see myself hiking with a male stranger who I never met in the middle of the day without my husband. So
yeah.
So the males are not left out. They're just invited to larger group settings.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I thought that would be the case, but I wanted to double check because I'm guessing, again, I don't know, that there must be military husbands as well, is there, that their wives are in the military and they're getting moved around?
Yeah. So my husband's job does not really have a whole lot of female workers that have male spouses. But for me personally, whenever I try to post or try to interact with groups, it's always just seems to be females. And I'm sure there are males out there and I want them to feel welcomed. You know, I would love to meet them and document their family as well, but they just never seem to want to participate.
Got it. So Dana, I don't know again, but I'm imagining you coming to my area. Say I'm in a smaller area, not as big as California.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I'm Dana. I'm just new to the area. I'm looking for a catch up for coffee or whatever. And you start putting these little side groups together and organizing coffee meetups. I'm guessing there'll be a few photographers going, who the hell is this Dana chick coming into our turf and trying to take over? Like, do you get that sort of pushback or that feeling at all?
I think because the military community is a very strong and tight community, we all understand where we're coming from. So that is not the case with the military community. However, the photography community from the locals, that's a different story. As a wedding photographer, it's very difficult because we book our weddings 18, 24, 32 months in advance, even in some cases. And so whenever I would come in, introduce myself, try to set something up, I had a couple of photographers who were like, it's not like you're going to be here that long anyway, so why would you try to make friends?
Wow, that's harsh.
I just ignored them because I don't need no negative Nancys in my life, and they're just probably miserable about theirs. So I just ignore them, and I kind of just do my own thing anyway, and I surround myself with people who want me to be there and who want to connect.
I love that. So if you do get something like a negative Nancy, post a crappy comment, do you block them? Do you ban them? Do you delete their message, or you just ignore them?
I just ignore them. I don't fight hate with hate, and I don't have the energy. I'm a positive person. I'm positive Polly. So I don't need a negative Nancy in there, and I just ignore them because I don't want to give them attention or time of day.
Got it. I like it. So social media, that's your first stop. And you mentioned Facebook and Instagram, Facebook groups specifically. Is there anything else, you know, using TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, any of those? Or are there military type apps that you use as well?
There are really no military apps that I know of. I do have a TikTok, and I have made a couple of TikToks. I got a couple of thousand views, but I think it's more for just for funsies. When it comes to marketing specifically, I actually have started using Instagram Reels, and I also have Wet and Wire. And a lot of people fight me on Wet and Wire because it is a website where creatives can come together to connect with couples, but they fear that the couples are basically just price shopping. I personally have booked wonderful weddings from Wet and Wire and at full package as well. Some of my favorite weddings of all time are actually from Wet and Wire. So I continue to use them. And whenever I get a new base assignment for my husband, I immediately go to Wet and Wire, and they help me move my business over to there through that as well.
Okay. So Wedding Wire, is that a paid service?
It is a paid service. It's a monthly paid service. It's based on where you're located. So for some, it could be $75 a month. For others, it could be up to like $500 a month.
Wow.
It's all about location. I just moved my Wet and Wire account officially 3 months ago, and I already got one inquiry. So that one inquiry alone was already worth a yearly subscription with them.
Okay. And do you find that it's more non-military couples that are using Wet and Wire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So as soon as you know that you're moving, you get in touch with them, and then do they then move your account to show that you're now in Monterey?
Yeah. So actually, if you go to Google and you type in Monterey Wedding Photographer, Wet and Wire comes up the first like one or two results. And as soon as you click on that, my face is right there on the first page as one of the few photographers in Monterey.
Right. Okay. So how much do you have to pay for that? Because you said there's different rates for different people or different locations.
Yes. This one is $127 a month.
Okay. $127 US a month. So how many bookings do you need to get to make that worthwhile? Is one enough?
Like half an inquiry. So like if I book one wedding, I think like 60% of that wedding will pay for the whole year. That usually I book about 2 to 3 weddings from Wet and Wire a year.
Right. Okay. I said, well worth it.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Okay. And then, so what else do you do then? So you've got the social media sorted out. You've got Wedding Wire. I guess you have to make changes to your actual social media accounts, yeah, to your website, like SEO, like what takes precedence next?
So I had mentioned that the day I find out that I'm going someplace, I go on social media, but I hire an SEO guy. So this guy has actually moved me from Hawaii to Virginia, and now is moving me from Virginia over to California. I pay a set rate for him too. It's usually monthly, and he'll go ahead and he'll do all the SEO settings that I need to get done for my website. So that way I can show up on page one, and he knows right away too.
I like it. Okay. So is he based in the US or is he in one of the Eastern countries?
He's actually in California.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. And then so what do you pay him and who is it?
So his name is John. I can go ahead and give you the link for the show notes to his website if you want.
Yeah, great.
He was actually introduced to me by my friend Brooke, who is also a photographer. She does more newborn photography. And she actually told me that he did her move from Hawaii to the DC area. So when I first introduced myself to this guy, I was like, I already know you're worth it. I've already seen your results. Here's my money. Do whatever you need to do. And so that's pretty much how it goes. And every time I tell him that I'm moving, or if I want to focus on a keyword on Google that I want to rank page one for, or even if I want to do something extra, I just go right to him and he'll just do all of it for me.
Okay. So this is why you pay him a monthly retainer rather than just a one-off fee every time you move.
So every time I move, there is a fee. So when I first started, it was $400 a month for 6 months. And now every time I move, it's usually about $400 to $800 flat rate.
Right. Okay. So then why go on and pay that monthly fee to have him? Is he always in there tinkering? Is he?
He's always working on my page. It's not just a one and done deal. He's always on the page, on my website, trying to figure everything out. He's an expert. He literally got his degree in it. He's done everything that he needs to do to be qualified in SEO that has gotten me ranked on the first page of Google for multiple keywords.
Unreal. So let's say you photographed a wedding in Virginia and you've got a blog post on that couple. Will you actually go in and show that then as a Monterey wedding? Like, do you go that far or not?
That's kind of tricky. That's actually a difficult question because it can be yes and it also can be no. I'm really good when it comes to blogging and SEO portions of the blog. I love blogging. I'm incredible at it. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I'm freaking good at blogging, okay? Like, when I first started taking a blogging course through a mentor, Amy and Jordan, they never really talked about SEO. And then as you, like, know SEO, you start to get better with blogging as well. So that being said, if it's a Virginia wedding, I do not shoot the Virginia wedding and try to put it in the Monterey, because Virginia looks totally different than Monterey, California. But right now in Norfolk, everything is very techy. It's very industrial. And then in Monterey, it's very beachy and winery. It's two totally different locations. People will spot, you know, a mile away the difference. However, there are several steps that I do take when it comes to blogging. And unfortunately, I can't do that part until I actually get to Monterey. But I do have scheduled sessions and I do have venue tours the second I do get into Monterey that will be blogged so I can show up on Google.
Okay. So what do you mean? So you're going to turn up to Monterey, get settled, yeah. Then you go and just photograph locations and create posts?
Yes. So the people that I connected with after we done, you know, our friend talk and we connected and everything in between, usually they are the ones that were like, hey, if you ever need to build your portfolio here, let me know. So that being said, on top of that, I do have two paid sessions already on top of a portrait session. So basically, I have three sessions in Monterey, literally the week after I get into Monterey. And so each of those sessions are in three different locations. And there are locations where I would want to shoot at for the future. So I would blog those. And then I would go to venues. So wedding venues that I want to shoot at for next year, I have five tours scheduled between end of December and early January. I would show up to those venues. I would introduce myself. I would bring a snack for us to share. We'll just walk around. I'll take pictures. And then I would blog that as well.
Okay. So that's pure Amy and Jordan, isn't it? That's sort of the kind of...
I don't know if you know who Amy and Jordan is.
I've interviewed them and they shared that exact tactic.
Oh, you did? Oh, see, Amy and Jordan are like a godsend on earth. Yes, it's exactly what they had taught the students that we've taken for their business course.
Yes. So these tours that you're doing with these venues, are you actually contacting the event organizer and organizing a private tour so you can see the location? Is that the way it works?
Yes, it's the way it works. I would tell them that I'm just looking to blog at the top five venues that I want to shoot at. And it's only those five venues because those are the venues that I can be consistent at in my work. And so I would just contact the coordinator and we would set something up personally. And then, like old Amy and Jordan fashion, you'd also offer headshots for the employees if they needed it as well.
Right. And you said something really cool there that they mentioned when I interviewed them quite a while ago, was you don't turn up empty-handed, do you?
No, absolutely not. If they're taking some time to tour a photographer who is not a couple who would spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. You know what I mean? Like, that's one time slot that a couple could have come to see the venue. So I usually show up with a gift card to Target or Starbucks. And then I also bring a snack. So sometimes it's like cookies or chocolate or even like gummy bears or something, like something I know they would love because I would stalk their Instagram and I would bring that along with me.
I like that. I love that. And when you say gift voucher for Starbucks or Target, what kind of value?
Usually like $5 or $10. Whoever the coordinator is touring with me at the time will get that, but they don't know that until I get there. So
yeah, sure. So you turn up there with the voucher, you've got the cookies or the gummy bears, depending, and you know what they love because you've stalked their feed. That is so cool.
Yeah, and it's there because they're like, how'd you know I like gummy bears? I'm like, I'm lucky guess. What? I don't know. So the power of the internet, man.
That is so good.
Yeah, I do a lot of stalking and I'm not mad about it, so.
So how do you pick these five different venues? Is that by stalking then previous military weddings in the area?
No. So as you can tell, Monterey is a very beachy, it's beachy, it's winery. There are a lot of venues. I basically use Instagram. I use Facebook. I use WeddingWire. I use Google. From wedding venues that I shot here and wedding venues that I would shoot in Hawaii as well, I kind of have an idea of what the scenery is that would help me be consistent with my editing style. I am a light and night wedding photographer. Why would I shoot a venue where the inside is all dark and blue and rustic? So I'm very good with wineries because I love my greens, ocean venues, you know, because you have a view of the ocean. Those are what I'm really good at. Those are what I always shoot here and what I shot in Hawaii. And that's how I pick my top five venues.
Okay, so you're picking venues to show off and blog and potentially work at based on your editing style and the look of your photography. That is smart. That is cool. I love that. Let me just change tactics real quickly here. When you get the call or your husband comes home and tells you, I'm not sure how you get advised that you're going to be moving, does your face just drop and does your heart sink, or are you excited to get the news?
I'm really excited. In general, we kind of have an idea of where we go. Now, that being said, Virginia was like number 14 on our list. And so that kind of took me by surprise. But there's nothing we can do about it. I could sit and mope and cry and my heart races a mile a minute, or I don't use that time wasted. I would immediately go into mode of trying to connect with people, starting the process with moving our home, our family, and also moving my business. I get really excited because I just love traveling. I love living in new places. I've been all over the world. I've lived all over the country. I love it. I enjoy this lifestyle.
Nice, nice. So is there an end in sight, or as long as your husband's in the Navy, you'll be moving?
Well, I thought the end in sight was 2 weeks from now, but that didn't work out. So he actually ended up re-enlisting, and I believe that he will be in for a full career, which means he is 8 years in now, I think, and he has 12 more to go. So I know for a fact that we will be moving at least like three more times.
Right. So why don't they ever leave you just in one place? If he's good at his job, and I'm assuming that he is, why do they always move you guys?
I don't know. Why don't you just go ask the Pentagon for me and let me know how that answer goes? I hear a lot of stories. People are like, yeah, I've lived in this place for 7 years before the military moved us. And I was like, well, how did you do that? Like, whose ass did you kiss to like keep you in that one spot? What admiral do I need to talk to? I think it's just based on the branch. I think it's based on what you do for each branch. My husband's job in the United States Navy is a little bit different, and it's a very high stressful, high demanding position. So because of that, he just happens to be one of the ones that have to move every 2 to 3 years.
Got it. Okay. So it sounds like, listening to you describe what you just did, it sounds like it would be ideal to stay in one place, but the fact that you have to move, you just say, okay, let's just run with it. This is what we signed up for.
Absolutely. This is my second time. As we continue to move, I continue to grow. I continue to take it with grace. I know exactly what I need to do the second we find out, and I just keep doing what I know works.
Unreal. All right. So you're still there in Virginia. You're in the Facebook groups. You're on Instagram. You've organized tours.
Yeah.
You've posted on Wedding Wire. You've also got your SEO and your website happening. So everyone knows you're coming. So you turn up. Is there anything else you do at home in Virginia before you get to California?
The only thing I really can do to be honest, is just focus on continue to connect. There's only so much you can do when you're 3,000 miles and three time zones away. All the SEO, all that stuff's taken care of. The wet and wire is taken care of. You just continue to connect. Don't connect and then just go MIA for 3 months, because then that's how you end up losing your connections, how you end up losing your relationship. So as long as you just continue to check in, continue to post that I'm excited to move to Monterey, that I'm excited for the road trip over XYZ, that's all you really have to do until you actually get there.
Okay. So is this like hundreds of DMs, or is this just occasional posts, like once a week you'd sort of check in?
So I post on my Instagram about 3 to 4 times a week, sometimes 5 if I'm really feeling motivated. One of those posts is at least about the process of the move. So like, hey, my husband and I officially scheduled our move out date. We're officially moving to Monterey at this date. We move in at X date. People actually really like that stuff. Those are the posts that actually get more interaction, that get more feedback, comments, shares. And obviously we know that on Instagram, the algorithm, the more you get comments and likes and shares, the higher ranking you are on the main feed. So I make sure to be open about it. And people in Monterey are starting to connect and share it and get really excited for me. So
awesome. Unreal.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get to Monterey in California in the next couple of weeks. What happens when you hit the ground? You've got your tours organized with the venues.
Yeah.
And I guess you've got some coffee meetings and things like that, and walking the dog dates.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, I start blogging. I start just really just connecting with people. In Monterey specifically, I've noticed that it can be kind of slow in January through March because it's a chillier month. A lot of people had told me that the weather there was pretty nasty, so no one really likes getting married there. I have 2 elopements, and that's in the first 3 months. Otherwise, I am doing Facebook ads, a couple of them, to get myself ready for military events that happen there at a certain time frame in the spring and the summer, and then advertising for 2022 weddings.
Okay, got it. So it's still pretty busy. You're busy doing your marketing for the rest of the year once you hit the ground. So when you said Facebook ads, are you targeting military personnel around these events?
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Okay, right. So that really is it sounds like a risky kind of campaign to run.
Yes, it is risky. I get it a lot from a lot of people, but it has worked so well for me that I just ignore them.
Yeah, well, I think you said 10 from 12 weddings, like 12 sessions, 10 wedding books.
10 out of 14.
Right, still pretty awesome.
Yes, the other 4, I didn't like them anyway, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Dana, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. And I've got to say massive thanks and shout out to Raymond Hatfield for putting us in touch. For you, the listener, if you haven't heard Raymond's podcast, you've got to go and check that out, the Beginner Photography Podcast. It may not be suitable for you, but maybe you know an up-and-coming photographer that it would suit. Again, Dana, you have been amazing. I love how candid you are, and really thank you so much for sharing everything you did. Before I do let you go, where is the best place for the listener to see more of your work and potentially follow you and connect?
They can definitely find me on Instagram, on Pinterest, on Facebook. It's all under Dana Arnold Photography.
Dana Arnold Photography. I'll add links to all those accounts in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And Dana, again, massive thanks. Good luck with the move. Hope it all goes well. And I hope you hit the ground running when you get to Monterey.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dana as much as I did. Dana, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for coming on, sharing everything you did. Me and the listener, we're both wishing you every success with your new relocation. I know that since we recorded the interview, you've actually made the move, you're settled in, you're up and running, and I'm looking forward to having you added into the members Facebook group so we can get an update from you, hear how it's all going. And I know there's every chance the premium members will have a question or two for you as well. So looking forward to getting your feedback on how it's all playing out after the big move. And yeah, for you, the listener, if you are a premium member, hit Dana up inside the members group. If you have a question, if you just want to say thanks for coming on and sharing what you did, she'll be there and available to you in the group. If you are listening to the free version of the podcast and you have a question for Dana, you can access her via her social media accounts. I've linked to those in the show notes for this episode. and they are at photobizx.com/400. Now, in those show notes, I've got links to anything and everything that Dana mentioned. I've got examples of her beautiful work. It's all there in that one spot, including those links to her social media accounts. Plus, there's a comments area. If you prefer to leave a comment there, I'll make sure that Dana sees your comments and questions. Alrighty, let's get into these audio updates from Scott and Nicolette Bolson from Dreams in Color Photography. If you're unaware of Scott and Nicolette or not familiar with them, head back to last week's episode where I recorded a full interview with them. They took on Mark Rosetto as their photography business coach. They were right in the thick of building a brand new purpose-built studio on their property, getting their marketing going, doing some test shoots. That was all in last week's episode. Now we get to hear how things are playing out in 2021. Here is Scott and Nicolette, or here are Scott and Nicolette. Not sure what the right grammar is there. Anyway, here they are.
Hey everyone, it's Scott and
Nicolette.
Oh my God.
From Dreams in Color Photography.
So it's been about 2 weeks since we spoke to Andrew last. The day after we spoke to Andrew, we had our Christmas minis, which in our scale of business was a success.
Yay, we had like 10, which is a massive thing for us.
So we had, yeah, everyone loved the studio when they came here, which was good. Yeah, so we treated it more as a run through of our whole experience rather than just your standard Christmas minis of like 20 minutes in and out. So we used ProSelect for the first time in front of people. That went pretty good. It made same day IPS a lot easier, or I guess IPS in general. We just have to get used to it a bit more that like we have to cull straight afterwards. So don't go crazily overboard shooting because otherwise it's a pain in the ass for me to try and cull down all those amazing photos. So yeah, it all went pretty good.
Yeah.
Do the photos, cull them, put in our presets, show them. Everyone bought extra photos, so that was nice. We got a square card reader, which made life a lot easier in the studio because it always used to be just bank transfers.
And everyone felt like it was really profesh.
Profesh. Yeah, so then after that, we had our next session with Mark. And after going through like our homework and stuff, which was meant to be finishing the website and the gift certificate layout, we decided to go through and focus on everything that was left with the business to try and get everything up and running as quick as possible, like at a bare minimum. So we started off going through the website page by page and just going through, okay, on this page we need to do this, on this page we need to do that, so that we just basically had a list that we could work through just to be able to tick stuff off, not have to think about it when we next want to, you know, work on business and stuff. Then, like, I've kind of set up the basics of Tave, like the basics. But then Mark was just saying whether or not we bother about now setting it up in Tave or just do it manually. He just kind of ran through like the email sequences that we need.
Yeah, so it's pretty much so that if someone wants to come to us, we have something to send off rather than now we just want to get everything perfect. It's kind of like we need to be shooting. Let's get out there and we just need to set up now the, okay, what do we do when we get a booking? We need to have our welcome letters, our booking letters, just so that we can just manually send them out for now and then, yeah, worry about the...
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't a lot to go through for that stuff. Because a lot of the templates for that are in the systems and workflow sprint course. So we didn't have to cover that much because basically we can just go through now, copy and paste, add in our little bits of quirk, then pull it back a bit because we've overdone it. And then that's all pretty much good to go. And then, like, as for the rest of it, so, yeah, we're kind of, like, in a bit of a catch-22 with the rest of our business because we've got some studio samples up on the wall, which are looking great and everyone loves them, but we want more studio samples, but we need to take photos of them. And then before we do those, we want to have the website up and have kind of some of our printed material done, like brochures and stuff like that, but then we don't have all our products yet. We need to shoot outdoor families, but... So we live on an acre and a half here where we've got our studio built, and then it's kind of like a bit more country-ish, like in the backyard area, so we want to be able to do like outdoor families there, but then it's like we need a bit of time to be able to set up that area. So it's kind of like everything that's left to do, kind of nothing can get finished before the other thing, so it's like we have a fair bit of half finished stuff left. But yeah, I think that's pretty much what we're working on at the moment, just trying to tick off what's left. We have some beefy Maori guys down the back there chopping up some trees at the moment, the dead ones, so that we can make a bit of space in that area. Yeah, then we can just try and work through the list, and hopefully next time we give you one of these beautiful updates, we have some more good news.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Some more samples, maybe take some photos, and
I can tell you about the first millions we made. Cool. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
See ya.
Hey guys, it's Scott and no Nicolette today for the Dreams in Color photography update. So the positivity of the last Dear Diary update didn't actually last very long. Who knows whether it's just, you know, the end of the year coming up, or it's been a pretty shitty long year, or else that it's actually been a year since we started the studio build, but the progress has slowed down a fair bit. There's not much enthusiasm going around at the moment. Things we did actually manage to achieve was, it feels like a never-ending, just, yeah, but the website is still nearly done. I got the shop section up and running so that people could buy the gift certificates and stuff, and that just took forever. Just trying to get it to look somewhat pretty and like that it fits in with the rest of the website kind of thing. But that's done at least. And then the next thing was the privacy policy. I'm spending way too long peeking through other people's websites and just grabbing little bits here and there just to try and put something together. Then I found out after a few hours that the Business Victoria has a template, which made life a lot easier. Just made the last few hours feel like a big ass waste. We got the Christmas minis all edited. We did a few more of them before we took the set down, and still everyone bought more photos. That was good. And still just getting more comfortable with ProSelect. The preparation in the backyard is getting there as well for the outdoor portraits. We're just waiting for the delivery of a Canon 135mm f2 lens for our outdoor portraits. I don't really currently think off the top of my head what Nicolette got done, but to be honest, I don't think it was that much really either. So that's probably about all from here. It could go either way as to whether the next update is inspiring or just the sounds of tumbleweed rolling along. But yeah. Oh, almost forgot. The big news of last week. It's a pretty big celebration. We hit 100 followers on our Instagram page. So yes, welcome to the big league. Okay, so it wasn't maybe that excessive, but once we found out, I spent way too long and made up a mock letter from the Queen to celebrate us hitting the centenary. I'm not sure if that counts as a celebration or not. But I'm off to look at the back of the couch and see if I can find my enthusiasm. I'll let you guys know how I go. See ya. We last heard from Scott and Nicolette with their pre-Christmas update. Motivation was low, times were tough, Christmas came and went with the blink of an eye. It was a rough few weeks. Scott, between meds, managed to get by day to day as Nicolette discovered she was pregnant. Horrible morning sickness would ensue. Let's find out what's happening with our protagonists. Dear Diary, it's been a while, but things are happening again. The outside shooting spaces that we've spent ages on already are finally done, and we had our first shoot there yesterday, which went really well. We just had a friend come over in with her family so we could get a sample collection done, and they spent another $500, which was pretty cool considering, well, they weren't meant to spend any money and it was just meant to help us. So that was nice. Yeah, so from that we can get another collection together and printed. And then hopefully we can finish off our samples for the studio. I think we'll be able to get a wall art collection and an album from that shoot. We did some fine art family shoots over the break as well and got some samples printed from that. We're waiting on about 5 wall art collections to be delivered at the moment, which is pretty exciting. We're almost at the stage where we can stop spending money, thankfully, and concentrate on making some. Woohoo! What else has been happening? The product and client experience brochure thingy I've been designing has been pretty much put together. So we can go through that with Mark on Wednesday and tick another thing off the list, hopefully. And most exciting of all is that we're pretty close to being able to stop our real estate photography work, which is pretty needed, to be honest. Between the depression and Nicolette's morning sickness, we really need to try and use the little energy we have pretty wisely. We have so much content from Mark to get through as it is. The Master Your Marketing course of his, which is an online course that he offers. Yeah, we've got a lot to get through from that. We really need to start watching that again. It also helps us to cover more content during our Zoom calls when nothing is completely new and needs extra time to be discussed or explained, kind of thing. So there's a lot on there that we can watch and really help us with our launch. Yeah, we got our gift certificates printed and delivered. Pretty happy with how they came out. So pretty much after we chat to Mark on Wednesday, hopefully all that's really left is just to try and organize our launch and I guess getting clients. Yeah, most of the other stuff Mark reckons we can work out along the way. So hopefully that's the case. Well, that's all from here. Till next time. Bye.
Hey, it's Andrew again. Scott, Nicolette, thank you so much for recording those audio updates. You guys are an absolute blast, and I love hearing about how things are going. I'm sure the listener feels exactly the same way. From the listener and I, we are both looking forward to more updates from you guys. We can't wait to hear how things are going and how they play out for you in 2021. So again, massive thanks for being part of this. And a massive congrats to both of you on Nicolette's pregnancy. That is fantastic, I'm sure. I don't want to use the term spanner in the works, but I'm sure that's going to provide some extra fun updates from you guys over the next 9 to 12 months. So again, congratulations, guys. That is such great news. Oh, and quickly, if you are a premium member, make sure you check out the members Facebook group, because Mark Rosetto made an offer available to premium members in the group last week. In the interview last week with Scott and Nicolette, they spoke about a sprint course which had a wheel in it to help rate their business and find out exactly what they need to work on, which gave them some direction and clarity. So Mark has put together a little gift for you as a PhotoBizX premium member. You can get that sprint course for free. Yes, it's totally free. There's a link to the sprint course in the members Facebook group, and you just need to use the coupon code and it's all yours for free. So massive thanks to you, Mark, for providing that for members. And if you are a premium member and you can't find that for whatever reason, shoot me a PM or an email and I'll direct you that way. But it's worth checking out, and who does not love a freebie? Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you are staying safe, healthy and well wherever you are in the world. I hope business is good. I hope you're not on lockdown, and if you are, it's ending soon. And 2021 is shaping up to be a beauty. Alrighty, I will talk to you next week. Until then, bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.